Hey everyone, this is Lily Sullivan. I play Dr. Diana Deep on my Stitcher Premium podcast, Going Deep. And this month, Earwolf Presents is releasing 4 episodes of Going Deep Season 1 from behind the paywall. Woo! Oh my God! I know what you're thinking. Why would they do that? Well, I'll tell you, to celebrate Season 2 of Going Deep coming out on September 12th. This week's episode is with Zach Reno and Jess McKenna, and it is insane. They play 2 royal betrothed children who hate each other, and they come to me, Dr. Deep, to help them settle their wildly out-of-touch differences. They're so high energy and funny and talented, and it was really fun to make, and I hope really fun to listen to, too. Please enjoy and check out Season 2 of Going Deep on September 12th, only on Stitcher Premium. To get a free month of listening on Stitcher Premium, go to stitcher.com/premium and use promo code DEEP. Enjoy!
What you're about to hear is a totally real, not fake couples counseling session. It contains bad words, sex stuff, and therapeutic techniques that are not legally allowed to be used inside the United States. For the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, names and some identifiable characteristics were meant to be removed. However, we did not have enough time.
Chrysanthemum, why? Chrysanthemum, why?
Hello, my matron has made me call you to say please.
I'm supposed to be on this call as well. Excuse me. Give it to me. I want to hold it. Hello. My name is Reginald. This is my betrothed, Penelope.
We are betrothed to each other.
You are hereby commanded to administer to us therapy of the couple's nature. Chrysanthemum, come here. I want to have...
She is not your matron. She is not your matron.
She will be soon.
No, she shan't.
I want some of those crackers from... Yes, I want them as well.
Please, person on the other end of this beep, it is required that our families see peace between us so that every time we gather, it is not a shouting match between the two of us for the next 12 years and on and on.
What is this glass contraption that we are talking into? I don't know which iPhone this is, but surely it
it's
would shatter
11.
Like
it's
if
an
I
11.
Throw it against the wall.
No, you shan't throw it. Only throw your own.
Ha!
Something cute about me is that I hate kids. I find them sticky, loud, and void of humanity. Normally, I would never allow a child into my office, let alone 2. But for this session, I decide to make an exception and meet with Penelope and Reginald because they are not ordinary children. They are royal children. And because I identify as a royal, as well as a rich person, I have decided to open my office doors to what I hope will be 2 adults in small, fancy, childlike bodies.
Thank you for attending the session. I appreciate seeing both of you.
My matron made me come.
Oh, your matron?
My matron made me come.
Our matron. I'm sorry. It's our matron. Was your matron. Now it's our matron.
Not yet. Not yet. Just because it's going to be your matron
you
doesn't mean it's your...
Insufferable. Even at this... What time is it? Is it
let her finish. Let her finish. I just wanted to say...
6 p.m.? I should have been asleep for hours by now.
Let her finish. I just wanted to say my matron made me come.
What is her relationship to you? What does she do for you both?
Well, she doesn't do anything for Reginald yet. He's just being a sneaky, sneaky snake, saying that everything that is mine is his, which will be one day
in
when our family...
In your dowry, it is promised to me that all of our belongings will become of the co-royalty of your family and mine. And so all of Chrysanthemum's matronly duties will apply to me as well as you forthwith on the day of our marriage day.
I'm not going to have a matron once we're married, Reginald. You
well, then maybe
stupid,
I don't understand,
silly child.
Maybe I don't understand what a matron is then, Penelope.
I don't either. I would love to know.
Why doesn't anyone just stop and say, hey, Penelope, what does Chrysanthemum do for you before they start sneaky, sneaky claiming them in the dowry that won't even go into effect for another 12 years?
You know that to admit that you don't know something is a horrible sign of weakness, and I'll never do it. And I think that that's a healthy way for me to live my life.
So just to make sure that I have all this clear, your families are royal families. Am I correct? Yes. I'm reading that right?
We have an arranged marriage to each other.
So
in 12 years' time.
How old will you be 12 years from now?
Well, 12 years from now, in the future, we will wed.
When we are both when we are both 22.
When we are 22 years old.
The perfect age for a royal marriage, because it's two numbers that are the same number. Just like two houses that are the same blood will wed to bring these two kingdoms together.
So they are the same blood, you're saying? So
All the royal families are related on let's say the lower branches of a family tree. Mm.
Yes, Reginald is like a twig off of my mighty oak. Like
If anything, I am the gigantic oak from which the twig of your weak and I'm getting all hot and flustered now.
You're both. I'll say this: you're both small. You're both really kind of meek and pale. Yes.
I'm a strong 4 foot two.
Yes, Reginald is 4 foot two. He will be able to go on roller coasters before I can, because I am only an even 4 foot. But we are both very pale, very hollow cheeks, and our bones break simply.
Yeah, you look a bit jaundiced, a bit sickly, yellow skin, really.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bones hollow like that of the noble Peregrine Falcon.
Peregrine Falcon.
The Peregrine Falcon. It's a bird. Birds have hollow bones.
He's obsessed with raptors. When my family said, you're going to walk around the hedge mage with your betrothed for the first time, and they gave me a few topics to, you know, get conversation going, they said, why not ask him about raptors? And I was thrilled, because I love dinosaurs.
No.
To be shocked to find out that it was actually about birds of prey.
You fool. A raptor is a classification for birds that hunt with their talons in the sky. They are the masters of the art of war of the heavens above, apart from fighter planes.
Here I had a great opening line. Oh dear, if I disappear in this hedge mage, maybe you'll find me on the other side of your shoulder like a true clever girl. And I was very thrilled to say...
What's that a reference to?
This is why I weep for my future with you, Reginald.
Two royal children betrothed to be married. An age-old tale. They do not love each other, and yet their union is a crucial part of continuing the royal bloodline. It is a necessity to the kingdom, and because I love to help the kingdom, I need to make sure these kids are ready to procreate. In a way, the monarchy depends on me.
How sad for me, a 10-year-old royal hollowbone girl, to know that my future is with this Reginald, and there's nothing I can do about it. So, like, is there a hypnotism you can give me where I see him as, like, a cool guy who I love?
I would also like a hypnotism where I see her as sort of a, I'm trying to think, maybe like a big golden retriever.
You think you're going to want that when you're 23?
With a
you're
big
so
hat.
Short-sighted.
I think, you know, look, as someone who's worked with a lot of people either looking to get married or engaged or even newly married, there's a lot of things that come up. And I would say you guys both don't know what it means to be horny yet, do you?
Yes, horny like the spiked rigid back of the bristle-backed boar that I will hunt upon my 16th name day.
He's going to do this for every moment, if he can make it about some sort of animal he can hunt or study, just so you know. There's nothing you can say that
he can't
make. Yes. No, we've not yet begun to feel the feelings of horniness. We feel only the slight bristle of a crush's intrigue.
I see. I was going to say, so, you know, with the whole golden retriever thing, for example, if you want to look at her as a golden retriever, you're not going to be horny for that golden retriever. So
well, no,
we need to make sure.
Golden retriever is soft and fluffy.
Exactly. Well, but do you want to fuck it? You know, that's basically what the question is. How do we find for you both that thing, that metaphor, that being that you can look at the other one and think, okay, I think I want to fuck that.
Oh.
For me, having only the bristles of an early crush's intrigue, my closest thought is that I would love for him to look, and act, and behave, and dress, like Dr. Ian Malcolm of Jurassic Park.
Oh.
Not the actor Jeff Goldblum, but Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Does he not wear many capes? Does he not wear resplendent befeathered hats? Does he not have polished boots that shine in the midday sun?
He might have polished boots, but he mostly has an open black collared shirt.
Okay, well, I'll take off the hat and the mini capes.
Oh.
You know, this is new, right? This is how long have you been?
But a fortnight.
Yes, which, the hedgewalk
was... clear how long that is.
A hedgewalk was but a fortnight ago, but we've been promised since our third name day.
Yes, so we've been engaged for 7 years now.
But only have met each other for one fortnight.
So that was the hedgewalk was a fortnight ago.
So you were three when you got engaged?
Yes.
Well, betrothed. Our families arranged it, yes.
But we met a fortnight ago when we walked the hedge.
Yes,
I
understand that. And I heard you say that you walked around.
So, therapist woman, do you not know how long a
fortnight
is?
Diana Deep.
Diana, what's the last name?
Diana Deep.
What's your, and is that and, like a family of
and
therapists?
Keep going. I'm so sorry. We've cut you and keep going. I'm so sorry. We've surely cut you off from your run of titles.
Surely your name is longer than that, as to include many honorifics and titles past.
I'll tell you something. It's pretty rare I have anyone in here who questions my authority. And I am absolutely floored by your behavior, but I'm being pretty forgiving right now, to be honest.
I've never had someone raise their voice to me in the manner that you just did.
No, voices being risen only happen when there is many leagues between us, and only to make the vocal sound waves travel to our small ears.
So that sound can carry, you see, over a large distance, such as the chasm, or lake, or pond.
Like when your matron says, "Come, Penelope, the first figs have fallen," and she might be far from you and the figs, and she might need to both get closer to the figs to confirm they have fallen, and also shout back to you from your small umbrellaed area, because you cannot be in the sun, that the first figs have fallen.
Or perhaps when your patron shouts at you from across a great expanse, such as a league, and says, "Reginald, mount not the back of that bristled back boar, for this is but a zoo of petting, and the animals are not to be ridden upon." But he is far away because he is at the cotton candy stand, acquiring the most delicious of spunged sugared treats, and you have absconded into the pen of the most vicious and terrifying hoofed beings.
Diana Deep, who surely we've cut off and has many more titles after that name, in case you got lost in that long wind of a boring tale,
I tried to ride the pig at the petting zoo.
I didn't get lost, and how dare you accuse me of that? I followed every moment.
All right.
I have roots in Europe. Okay, so I know that I am equally classy as you, even though it might not look that way because I'm not so pale and
from which quadrant of the continent do your people come from?
Well, you know, French, Welsh.
Could have guessed French.
Yes.
Why could you have guessed that?
Finally, we agree on something, Reginald. Could have guessed French.
Could have guessed French.
I see that you're bonding over shaming me, so.
It's not shameful to be from the French, not in the classic sort of shame way.
In what way is it shameful, then?
Oh, just in the way that you always know someone is French. And so there's sort of this moment where there's no hiding that you're French.
For example, you show up at a, let's say, a sunset ball, a classic sun. You show up at a sunset ball, just a normal Wednesday. Everyone is gathering upon the setting of the sun to feast upon fruits and figs and dried berries.
It seems not a lot of food.
Well, it's only a Wednesday sunset ball. It's not a resplendent quarterly ball.
It's certainly no resplendent quarterly ball.
There's no cured meats or anything, no crackers or...
At the sunset ball!
Well, I'm just saying, I think I'd be hungry.
As is the custom. Tradition of a sunset ball. You will be very hungry.
I'm supposed to be hungry at the ball?
Only have meager snacks, which you might take with you in a small knapsack on a trail, because once the sun has set it, only then is it appropriate to have a rigorous appetite.
The sun has set.
At the sunset ball.
Well, now we can sit for the Wednesday feast. I feel like you don't understand that.
And Penelope, that's how I thought you did an excellent job explaining it.
Oh,
I understood
thank you.
Perfect.
I didn't. Thank you. Well, I didn't catch it.
Never in my 40 plus years of unlicensed therapy have I ever been this insulted by a client. Usually, when I bring up that I've traveled and lived in parts of Europe, people recognize that that means I have money, and therefore I am smart and cultured and classy. It's simple math. But these pale, sickly little nobles aren't impressed by anything I have to say and have the gall to question my authority. I realize I cannot afford to lose another ounce of my power in this session, so I decide to turn the tables on them.
Where are both of you from?
What a honestly rude question to ask us.
I mean, weren't we announced? Were we not announced properly?
When was our herald with the large and thin trumpet who came through the door?
So he's What's in the bathroom. Thing? He's having issues.
Okay, well, my family comes from mostly the southeast quadrant and also the northwest quadrant of the continent.
Yes.
And my ancestors were both a duke and duchess of the northern forks of Denmark. But as they traveled further down to Moldova, they became kings and queens. This is, of course, 400 years ago. So stop me if you've heard this.
Okay, so I don't need to hear that far back. I just want to know where you're living now.
Now, 500 or 600 years ago in my family, in sort of the southeast quadrant in an area that would now be known as Czechoslovakia, a family comprised only of dukes and one earl moved northwest in their sort of migratory pattern towards what is now known as Germany. And they took a few other routes to go there.
So again, I just want to hear...
On my mother's side, there was a Norman conquest that happened to intercede with a Celtic ruler who had not been seen in nearly 80 years, presumed dead. Imagine the lifespan of this time that this man could be missing for 80 years. That does not make the man 80. So that happens on my mother's side. One of the oldest men to be alive during that time, which I believe was 1216. So they're hot and fresh off the Magna Carta.
I
they're
just
getting
want to know... where you're currently living.
We both live in Break Springs, Colorado.
Break Springs?
But we don't live there. We're currently not allowed in the country. What's the word? There was an attempted coup on both of our families, and we're currently hiding in Break Springs, Colorado.
Got it. Break Springs. Is that a ski resort? I think I've been there actually. Big cocaine community over there.
Yes.
Yes.
If I'm remembering correctly.
you are, yes.
Oh, if I'm remembering correctly. So you're stuck in Break Springs for the time being, and obviously now you're in tight quarters, it sounds like.
For the first time, yes. It's incredibly cramped. There's only 17 bedrooms in this mansion, and I quite frankly don't feel like I have an inch to myself.
For his family, and then we, across the way in our separate mansion, have 15 bedrooms. But we do have the ballroom, so it leaves one to say, couldn't that ballroom just be bigger than two additional bedrooms?
But we have the ball chamber, which is so frustrating, because anytime we want to have a ball, I have to go to Penelope's place. But anytime she wants to have, like, a resplendent gala, she has to come to my place.
It's so...
Can't get any privacy in here.
It sounds so annoying.
Here's what I've been one to do. I've been taking to finding time for myself behind many a tapestry. And in
hidden,
this moment...
Hidden from the world. Hidden from the peering eyes of man and beast alike.
Just standing behind a painting or something? Is that what we're talking about?
A tapestry.
It seems like a heavy frame to have to...
Can you imagine paint on a tapestry?
I'm sorry. I mean, you're scoffing, which doesn't make me feel good. And I'm being extremely patient with both of you.
Diane Deep, who surely has longer names.
Diana Deep, who surely has longer names.
A tapestry is a finely woven fabric, usually over hundreds of years old and sometimes featuring a unicorn, but not in the way you wish the unicorn looked like, in the middle of many a flower and flung bit of branch and bramble.
I quite agree. Never how you wish the unicorn to look on the tapestry.
Just between us, I have no idea what a tapestry is. I'm pretty sure it's a big watercolor painting you might see in a dentist's office or a cheap motel. But because I have to keep what little authority I have left, I decide to distract them with an exercise.
I'm going to try a little exercise with you guys. What if you could draw a tapestry? What would that look like?
Well, first of all, I'm going to stop you right there. I'd have to weave it, not draw it. It's, again, made of many, many tiny threads.
I know that you'd have to weave it. I know.
You mean if I was like going to plot out a design for someone else to weave?
Yes, if you were going to plot it out.
Okay, if I were to make a brilliant design for someone else to spend hours preciously weaving, mine would be the shot in Jurassic Park where the T-Rex's big foot comes down and squishes the mud. It holds up. As I watch it in this, the year of our Lord, 2020.
I find 2020.
Are you a speech therapist?
Is that what this is?
Newly. I mean, as of this session, good God. You're lucky I'm not even understanding what you guys are saying. It's a freak show in here.
I wish you had mentioned it at the beginning.
My tapestry is very different, and you will see why we're not compatible at all in any way.
Okay.
Now, picture mine, a big tapestry woven over hundreds of years. Someone else is doing it because I'm very rich. And you see in the frame a giant, the leg and foot of the greatest land mammal, the Asian elephant, plopping down, squishing the earth around it. The earth wet from rain, which patches in the background, and then there's a carriage in the back. So it's basically rain and there's a carriage and the big elephant foot squishing into the mud.
It sounds the exact same.
No.
It literally sounds the exact same as Penelope's. No.
What did she say? I wasn't listening.
What did he say? I wasn't listening.
But they're not the same.
But I know it's not the same.
We don't have anything in common and we don't get along. Isn't that right, Penelope?
Good God. These little freaks are getting on my nerves. I might not know what a tapestry is, but I do know that Penelope and Reginald are absolutely perfect for one another. And yet, they're too busy ripping me to shreds to see it for themselves.
I'm going to try this with you. I want to have an exercise with both of you again. Another one.
I'm exhausted from the first, but very well.
Yes, I need a refreshment. Normally, when I have to do calisthenics, they give me a rubber band from a ball and ask me to spread it apart.
Yes, you know how so there's this training with resistance bands, but traditional resistance bands are much too big and much too strong. So we pick the largest band off of the rubber band ball and we stretch it. A magnitude of inches bigger than it started, and that really sort of works the deltoids.
You can't do anything else for the rest of the day.
Take a long nap. Day over.
It's so confusing with you, too, because when you're talking, I'm thinking, oh, they're from the olden days. And then sometimes you say things like Jurassic Park or resistance bands, and I'm supposed to say, it's confusing me, to be honest.
It's confusing to us, too, because modern royalty is always sort of walking that line between tradition and also...
How to be approachable to your subjects, but also you don't have subjects anymore because you're on the run from the coup and living in Break Springs,
but also,
Colorado.
Can I pay the maid in Venmo? And does Venmo accept golden coins?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you can Venmo me for the session. The session fee should be paid via Venmo, by the way.
You should have someone arriving at your home with a sort of chest of treasures and coins.
Yes.
Unless you would rather it to be Venmo, in which case we can do that.
We can do that as well.
I guess the chest will do. The exercise is, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I want you guys both to answer it. And I think we're going to find that you have a lot more in common than you think.
Doubtful, but I'm willing to try.
I will try.
Okay, so here we go. If you... We're taking a walk in the garden or the hedge, if you will.
I'm relating extremely so far.
What would you see in the distance if you're walking the hedge?
I'm
going to count to three. And then you respond.
At the same time. Okay, great.
One, two, three.
More hedge.
So he didn't really respond.
What was I supposed to do?
You were supposed to respond at the same time.
At the same time.
So I would see more of the hedge.
Okay. So, see, we have some things in common, right?
Well, he might have just copied me because he hadn't heard anything. Or were you not listening, Reginald?
What did you say?
Ah.
Okay, if you're at a Starbucks.
What?
Well, I figured you might know what a Starbucks is.
Yes, we do. You're suggesting we would be at the home of that vagabond Jason Starbucks? that third-rate pauper prince of northeast Norwegia?
Are you suggesting that our families would ever dare to cross the threshold of Jason's Starbucks?
With his preposterously large front door.
And his very tiny rapier that he insists on showing you.
It's like, we get it. Lots of people could get into your house at once and you could stab a very small frog in a very specific way. With that tiny rapier and that gigantic front door.
He also insists that we welcome Autumn much too early. Yeah, it's like, still hot, Jason.
What are you talking about? It's like, yes, of course it is officially autumn, but I don't want to be
summer carving... has not yet officially ended, Jason.
I don't want to carve gourds in 93 degree heat. Are you
kidding me? I certainly do not.
So I wasn't talking about Jason's Starbucks.
Good.
I was talking about the coffee chain here in the United States. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yes. With the green lady from Seattle.
Yes. The siren. The siren who beckons you towards coffee that you can depend on.
Yeah. Okay. So you go to a Starbucks. What do you guys order? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Vanilla bean frappe.
So scone.
A scone.
Scone.
A scone.
Scone. Say it with me. Scone.
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 With little pips in it. With saltines in it. A saltine scone.
So a saltine is a cracker.
No, it's a small grape that's been withered into a tiny bit.
A sultan. Not a
what
saltine.
What did I say?
A sultan.
A saltine.
What, Penelope, what did you say?
For my order or sultan saltine?
For your
well,
order.
Hold on, I didn't get to say what I would drink. I only said what I would eat.
Oh, yes, and now I should say what I would eat.
One, two, three. Vanilla bean frappe.
Wow. Wow. Do you see that? Do you see what just happened?
What?
What?
You said the
I
word
wasn't
scone
listening.
Wrong?
You ordered the exact same thing.
I wasn't listening. What did he order? What did you order?
You both
I
ordered.
I said I would get a vanilla bean frappe and a scone. What did you say?
Well, that's crazy. I said I would get a scone and a vanilla bean frappe.
What are the odds of that? Both of their pastry case, sorry, case, and their menu board are both extremely abundant in choices, and yet we chose the exact same thing. What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Do you see how much you have in common? That you would both randomly, out of nowhere, decide to order that?
Diana Deep, whose name is Shirley Longer.
Surely
we just keep cutting
this.
Her off.
It's not it. That is it. That's it.
Well, who's your what's your mother's name?
My mother's name is Diane.
And your father's name?
Dan.
Diana Deep of Diane and Dan would be the start.
Would be the
and
start.
And then where are you from?
I'm from I grew up all over. You know, we went all over Europe and all
Diana
over.
Deep of Diane and Dan from quarters of Europe unknown.
Yep. Some of them are known.
And what are the names of the known houses?
You know, I don't really get a lot of people asking me the specifics of my background.
I got the impression of that.
Yes. You seem neither prepared nor eager to list the names of the houses you've inhabited.
Now, I understand if you're trying to keep that information clandestine because surely some foreign power is trying to assassinate you in your sleep so that they may assume your throne and
yes.
take your many, many acres of fertile land, which are wonderful for raising woolly sheep.
Though he is an occasional ally of both of our families, we never tell, for example, Jason Starbuck, the names of all the houses that we reside in.
He'd come to my house in the middle of the night with his ridiculous tiny sword and try to kill me to take my fertile lands on which I raise the woolly sheep.
Damn it. Just when I thought I'd gotten through to them, they turn on me again. It's almost as if they're trying to expose me as some sort of classless fraud who never lived in parts of Europe and only studied abroad there in college once with the host family, which is, of course, not true at all. But as they continue to berate me, they only further prove that they are indeed a match made in heaven.
I think what I'm seeing is you're both meant to be together. even if it doesn't always feel that way.
Well, naturally.
Yes, we are meant to be.
But you're meant to love each other, too.
Ew. That's the part that's the ew part. Do you see, Diane?
Diana. In my notes, it says that you're both bedwetters.
Correct.
Correct.
But that's hereditary.
And that is a sign.
Nothing to be done about that.
Yes.
That's just the sort of as the blood sort of mingles with like blood, the bones get hollow as the Peregrine Falcon, some of the organs shut. For example, each of us has one working lung and 3/4 of a kidney. But yes, the bladder is just it's like a big, flappy, wet piece of paper.
And I'm reading here that the matron, she feeds you baby bird style, mama birdie baby bird.
Yes. She chews my food for me, just in case it is poisoned by enemies of the throne.
Or in case it is hard, like rock candy, the enemy of your teeth.
Or in case it is too spicy, and she needs to tell me. Because, as a spice ripples through a hollow, tiny body, it does not make many friends on its way out. And I need Chrysanthemum to tell me if there has been hidden paprika in what I am about to ingest.
Or perhaps some fiend has hidden cilantro in the meal and it will give your mouth that weird tinny taste.
Honestly, I am floored that you both pronounced paprika and cilantro correctly. Cilantro did.
Cilantro did. What did cilantro do?
I add an ED, and this is the reaction I get.
Are you a royal?
Yes, first of all, you do not...
I believe I am. Yes, I believe there's some descendant somewhere.
Are your bones hollow? Do you wet the bed?
How rubber are your sheets and for how long?
Would you be able to rip into a crusty sourdough bread without your front teeth shattering on impact?
I get a lot of yeast infections.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, that's something.
That's something.
Finally, I have impressed them. I knew my yeast infections would come in handy someday. But for now, I get back to business. Getting these two 10-year-olds to do it.
When, you know, you finally do get married, what if this actually was meant to be? You know, what if you're meant to love each other as much as you are meant to be married?
You keep saying that part, and I don't know that I understand that part. Because we are meant to be.
Yes. As it is written, so it'll be done.
So you'll need to have sex.
Sure.
Procreate.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yes.
Continue the family line.
And we shall do it in the way that we have done for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Reginald shall ejaculate.
From the top of a tree as I fall down towards the bed. I sort of put that part in. That's not traditional. That's just me emulating the mighty Peregrine Falcon.
So you jump. I'm sorry. You're jumping down from the bed?
That part's not necessary. The part is I will ejaculate from not a distance from which one might need to speak in a loud voice, but perhaps a small distance, like from, let's say, punch bowl to cucumber sandwich.
Yes, exactly.
You know, the distance
from a distance, punch bowl to cucumber sandwich. At which point, my now lady in waiting, not a matron, for I am now a grown woman, will carry it over on a pillow in a trunk, and a small tincture shall administer it back into my vagina.
Oh.
And we shall do this once a month until an heir has been created.
It's important not to do it more than that, because a man must build up potent seed. And everyone knows that waiting is how the seed become. They must compete in acts of strength. And a battle of wits.
Within the testicles at any given moment, the royal families know that a battle of the survival of the fittest is happening. But not just of physical strength, also of mental prowess. For tiny seamen are competing in trivia bousts.
Where I will stand at one side of the room and Penelope will shout riddles and questions from across the room. So we'll have sex normally, like you
normal,
said.
Normal.
I'm going to explain what sex is to you. What most people consider sex.
Yes, okay. Tell us of the peasant sex.
You go
yes.
to a bar, okay, and you have, I don't know, 3 or 4 dirty martinis. You're feeling loose. You're feeling drunk. You see a man down the way who says, hey, I like that little blouse you're wearing. You say, thank you. I got this at Saks Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
Wow.
This sounds very much like the riddles phase.
You go back to his hotel. That's right. He's visiting for a conference. What kind of conference? Dental.
Oh.
You start kissing. That's where you put your lips on each other.
He says, how do you keep your teeth from shattering?
Yes.
He says, I'm married. You say, that doesn't matter. Not tonight. Doesn't matter. I'm married too, you say. Oh, okay. That's fine. Bam. You're on top of him. Penis and vagina. That's sex. Then he says, oh, I can't do this. Why can't you do that? I can't do this. My family. Okay. You say, okay, I understand. I'll just go down and get some room service. Go down to the kitchen. They say, we don't do room service here. This is a really cheap motel. Comfort Inn. You say, okay, fine. You go sit in your car. You drive to a McDonald's. That's sex.
Oh.
And when did the tincture come in?
Obviously, as I've learned over the years, sex can be many things, and not necessarily between a woman in an expensive blouse and a married dentist. But I try to keep things simple and relatable for Penelope and Reginald. I want them to understand that sex can be more than a matron woman with a turkey baster full of semen.
Sex is a primal thing. Where two people who are likely already in some other kind of relationship meet each other and they fuck. They put that penis in the vagina. And that's when essentially the penis acts like a little tincture. And it goes into the woman.
Well, I suppose that does eliminate a good deal of the time that we normally would have to set aside, as I understand, for sexual conquest.
Yes. It's meant to be. You're meant to feel that pleasure.
I was about to say that it feels like it's somewhat lacking in ceremony, but you said you would drink, you go to a bar, mm-hmm. You didn't specify the kind of metal, but that's all right. You go there, and then you drink filthy drinks? You drink three
dirty drinks. Dirty drinks. And someone needs to be in town to network with fellow dentists?
Yes. Someone, the person that comes to replace your teeth when they shatter, shouts at you from across. Well, I guess he doesn't shout. He speaks at you in a...
compliments your blouse.
A punch bowl to scone distance. Compliments your blouse, and you say you got it at Saks, and we say, nice. Mm. Very fancy.
It is very nice. It's expensive. But the main thing is, yes, okay, sure, you can experience whatever beforehand, be it at a Chili's bar or whatever. And then you go and you go into the bedroom with that person, and that's where the intimacy really comes from. So in your royal home, you know, when you two finally conjoin families, that's when, you know, you as family members will fuck. And the penis will go into the vagina.
Now, you say bedroom, but I shall have my own bedding quarters.
And I have mine. So
and then there's a separate quarters for the tincture ceremony that happens once a month.
It would happen there. See, it would happen right in there.
Oh, right. Okay. Mm.
And I think, you know, maybe we let some of the royal family people that watch you guys or do the tinkerage stuff, maybe they're not there sometimes. Maybe it's just you two.
Well, who carries the sack?
So am I to lift the sack? How much time do I spend with the sack?
There is no sack.
There's no sack. No sack. I understand.
What
do we do with the... I mean, the room is certainly big enough, but I feel like the orchestra will feel like it's very rude when we ask them to leave.
I want to talk about you two.
Mm.
Not the band, but you two people. You will promise me that you will have sex. And this is weird of me, I guess, that I want 2 10-year-olds to have sex. But it doesn't have to be, you know, we're waiting until 12 years from now. So
until after marriage, of course. Otherwise, I would welcome the assassination of our enemies. Were we to commit, not for religious reasons, but for royal reasons, you absolutely cannot have...
You shan't be able to let your guard down in such a way before you have the backing of an additional kingdom. Otherwise, assassins could be beyond any tapestry. So that's the main reason.
They could be behind any painting. You're right. They could just be hiding behind a big frame.
Do you not understand what a tapestry is?
And it's a little away from the wall. That's why I can hide there, because it must hang ever such. There's room for a small 4-foot hollow child.
Exactly.
Because, Diana Deep, I want you to picture someone standing behind a painting. You're walking down a hallway. There's a painting hanging on the wall, and someone is behind it.
Yeah.
And I want you to picture just how exposed that person is for every part of them that is, because conceivably it is not a floor to ceiling painting.
I think they're completely hidden by the frame. Maybe you see little shoes at the bottom.
You almost certainly see little shoes at the bottom.
There are definitely little shoes.
Whereas with the pilings at the bottom of a tapestry, one would be completely concealed.
Exactly. It's a frame. So big framed picture.
Is it just me?
I'm with you.
I'm with you both. I hear you.
You think this is how she feels talking to us? I'm just now realizing that maybe, Reginald, maybe now you're on the other side. Maybe this is when you say something to someone else and they don't understand.
Did you say, what if, is this how they feel? Wait, let me try that.
I did, and is that's sort of a novel concept, right? Because I'm used to thinking about what I feel.
Yes. And for me to take a moment to imagine, how might someone else feel?
Do that, though, because
you only know how you feel, and you are just to use your imaginative brain to suggest, based on the facts that you know, how someone might feel.
The same brain that can construct a fanciful tapestry of a large foot pounding into mud with the rain in the back.
Exactly.
Such a brain could imagine the feelings of another.
A big framed picture.
What's happening over there?
Maybe your head pops out. We don't know. Maybe it's just your body's covered by the picture.
What? My head would pop out, so we've hung this painting at only 3 foot? That is a terrible hanging place.
You
are to look at art and perhaps slightly up.
I can see you guys are both really, like, my session is really registering with you. I can see it.
Well,
you're
just had the idea of thinking about what other people think, and that
we
was
had
sort
that
of
idea,
novel.
And that was big. That was huge for us.
So if you had to imagine what the other one was thinking, what would it be? 1, 2, 3.
Understand it all.
A big bowl of ice cream. Sorry, I said what they'd be eating, not what they were thinking. What did you say?
So what would they be thinking?
1, 2, 3.
A big bowl of ice cream.
Wow. We did it, didn't we?
Yes, I think we did do it.
We've done quite well, Penelope.
Reginald, when I, in the future, walk the maze with you, I shall not think of it as the most disgusting task of that fortnight. I shall instead think of it as a potentially fine task that perhaps will leave no mark on my Saturday.
Yes, perhaps when I think forward to our walk amongst the hedge mage, I shall look forward to it with, dare I say, joyful trepidation.
Joyful trepidation?
I think she's feeling a little horny.
What?
Noise you made.
Yes?
That's not a noise I've heard from you before. I think that's a horny noise.
Oh, no, that's the noise when your windpipe involuntarily sort of tries to close up and you have to command it to open again. Being a royal is a lot of your own body trying to assassinate you on behalf of a foreign power.
Yes, sorry. Allow me to reinflate my lung. What are we talking about?
I thought I had made a 10-year-old horny, but I guess I hadn't.
And you're disappointed about this.
Yes, this is a bad thing that you have failed to make the 10-year-old horny?
Honestly, a little bit. I mean, I should be better at this by now.
Oh, no. I have failed the kingdom. I have failed these children. I have failed myself. And I have no idea what a tapestry is.
I'm at a loss. I have never had anyone break me down like this.
What on earth is happening with your eyes?
Oh, careful. You cannot spare that fluid. Someone, careful.
Get her a carafe
and a tincture. She'll need to replenish.
And a tincture. She'll be bone dry minutes from now. And the wind will blow her away like a pile of so much sand on the Serengeti.
Honestly, no one's made me cry in decades. I don't cry. I never cry.
Well, yes, it's very dangerous. You need every bit of moisture. Quick, put it back. Drink it.
Listen,
drink it.
Drink these tears.
I might not be royalty. I might not have a queen and king daddy mommy, okay? But I have class. I have class. And I grew up in parts of Europe, and I also grew up in America, and I understand what it means to be classy in two continents, and you don't have that. You just have one experience.
And let's not forget, you have yeast infections sometimes, and that's not nothing.
That's not nothing.
It's not. It's not.
No, that's the sign of royalty.
Yes. Your body attacking itself for sheer weakness? Royalty.
Because it itches terribly all the time. And I guess if I knew that it was because I was a royal, really was a royal, that would make me feel better.
Oh, yes. Anything that presents as a problem is just because of your nobility and thus is not a problem at all.
That's absolutely right, Penelope.
When
you think, I'm feeling pain right now, surely there must be a higher reason for that pain. And the reason is that I am more special than the other people around me.
Yes.
Really does a wonder on the self-confidence.
It does make me feel better. The idea that my pussy's so uncomfortable because I'm so
special
and important.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Absolutely correct.
Yes, special and better.
I never say this, but thank you both for coming in.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. People say that to us all the time,
yes,
mostly because we shout at them too.
Yes.
Your matron is here. She says she's ready to feed you, Penelope. She's chewed up some boar's head.
Oh, splendid. Boar's head brand of turkey or boar's head?
Unclear.
Fun, a surprise.
I leave this session a changed woman. I may not have helped these two royal babies find love and sex, but they did help me. Children are the most brutal critics in the universe, and my entire life I have run from their judgmental little eyes. Penelope and Reginald tore me down bit by bit until I felt as empty as a turkey baster with little to no semen in it. But then, just when I thought all was lost, they built me back up with compliments. And now I'm stronger than ever before. And if anyone ever questions my class or nobility, I will proudly look them in the eyes and say, "My full name is Diana Deep, and I get chronic yeast infections." That'll show them.
You can find Dr. Deep's travel guide, airport bars, holiday inns, and other classy places to woo married men, and her new collection of essays, All Children Are Bullies, on her Etsy. Dr. Deep would like to thank Jess McKenna, Zach Reno, producer and editor Kimmy Gregory, mixer Marina Pais, and Lily Sullivan, who is her greatest inspiration.